Paul, I believe that we have a God that's worthy to be praised. And this morning, I want us to take time just to do that. The whole book in the Bible dedicated to the wonders and the praises of the Lord is the book of Psalms. It's dedicated just for that purpose. It is like the hymnal that they used in the Jewish tabernacles, the places of worship all over the world. And they still used it for worship and to sing. We don't use it as much. We use it here and there as to sing, and we read it, but we don't really begin to catch the full significance of the vastness of how much we need to worship God. So I chose Psalm 113 because it's kind of got some history to it, and praise is the key, I believe, to overcoming. So we need to spend some time just to praise and thanksgive. So are you thankful? Are you deeply thankful? Are you thankful enough to really just take the time this morning to express that gratitude and let go of all the hardships, all the struggles, all the problems? Don't think about the world anymore. Don't think about eternity anymore. Think about right now. Are you thankful for where you are in this place, in this space and time? Because this is the most important moment in your life. It's the moment where yesterday meets today. Is right now, in a second. And if we don't get this second under control, then it doesn't matter about the tomorrows, because we got to live in the moment that we're living in. And so get rid of all those negative thoughts and set your hearts on the wonders of God who loves you. Now, this psalm begins with the great Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L. Which ends in Psalm 118. So Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. It was used to be sung in the Jewish festivals, particularly at the Feast of Tabernacles and of the Passover. It's also the hymn expected to be sung that Jesus probably had his disciples sing at the Last Supper before he went into the garden to pray. So it's an important psalm. Psalm is a song of praise of redemption of Christ. It's sung in gospel times, all through history, when the name of the Lord should be known among all the nations, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. It's thought to be known as the song that bridges the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. So this has a historic value to it that kind of brings us to a Thanksgiving day, or Thanksgiving kind of day. So I want you to turn to Psalm 113. He has given you authority. I'm going to read first from Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, but then we'll get into Psalm 113. It says, He has given authority, glory, and sovereign power all nations and peoples of every language to worship Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. He is a God who is worthy to be praised. Can you imagine the vastness of the universe? And if you can't begin, if you read just a little bit about how we've studied the stars, we found out that there's not a universe, but there's many universes. They tell us from the Hubble telescope views out into space. And that our God is bigger than all of them. Can you imagine just how big that God is? He is God over all the universe. He's the one that flung the stars out into the space. Can you imagine how big a star is and He just flung them out into space? He is magnificent. So having that kind of a backdrop, we know Him to be Yeshua, Jesus. He is His only begotten Son who left that powerful universe and came down and dwelt among us as the Son of God living here on earth with me and you. That's the challenge of all history. Jesus is the reason why we begin to understand who God is. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would still be living in the Old Testament law, trying to figure out God through Ten Commandments, still struggling to find ourselves out in the desert wilderness. But we're beyond that now. Why? Because God sent His Son to teach us. And he did it in 3 short years with some ragtag disciples along the Sea of Galilee as he sat and told them stories about the kingdom of God and gave us parables, which became in eternal parables. He gave us beatitudes that blew us away. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. And he told us in a way that shared us his heart. And he showed us his heart by giving himself, even on a cross. Now, Psalm 113 goes like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted among all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sits them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. I thought that was interesting that you take this whole beautiful atmosphere of praise, and he's introducing the whole Hallel, okay, by bringing it right down to praising God for taking the lowly, the homeless, the hurting, the needy, and putting them in seating in places enthroned on high with the leaders and the kings and the princes. And he also takes the childless maiden and sets her in a home with children. He's the God who oversees the ones who are destitute to the ones who have plenty. And he takes us. And sometimes we don't realize how poor and needy we are. I'm giving you a chance to share your testimonies and praise, to give praise to the Lord.
Well, mine is definitely, I don't know if many of you know, over the summer, we very suddenly became homeless. Well, the place that we rented from said we had 2 weeks to get out of our house because they were selling it. And ended up moving in with my mother-in-law, thought we weren't going to find a house, and literally found out Friday night from a friend that they had a friend that had a house for rent. Went and looked at it on Saturday and had the keys on Sunday. And it's a beautiful house, everything we've always wanted. So
I just want to praise the Lord for all he's done in my life. He's always, as his word says, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that is the awesome truth. And it doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter if we came from a Christian home and became a Christian as adults. God loves us, and he lets us know that in so many ways. And all I can say is praise his name, because without him, I truly don't know where I would be today. Without, you know, my past, you wouldn't know that, but it's the absolute truth. So without him, I am everything I am in him, and I praise his name. We'll always praise his name for who he is, my Lord, my God, my Savior, my King, my everything. Hallelujah.
I'm just thankful that God loves me. He reminded me this morning that no matter who we are, what we look like, whatever it is, he still loves us and he is always with us. And I'm thankful that he has brought me through the cancer treatments and other illnesses in the past. And I'm also thankful for good neighbors.
I'm going to say something that probably will upset a few people, but there was a game yesterday. Now, this is something good that came from it. Even though there was a lot of people who were angry and sent me a lot of hate texts and everything, at the end of the game, if you realize that Donovan Edwards stood up and they gave him an interview and he praised and gave all the glory to God, he said it 4 times during his interview. That is the thing that came out of the game. National TV, somebody saying, all glory to God. And that made me very, very happy.
Well, I wasn't sure if I had anything to, you know, say, and I was told that I was wrong. This morning when I woke up, I just woke up in a song, and it was just, and it stayed with me all morning. And it was like, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it just kept going on and on. And so I peeked outside and it was raining. I said, well, it's a good day. That's what I just...
And he sang it all the way to church in the car.
The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And when you, well, at our prayer meeting, I was kind of, I just thanked God the whole time. I was sitting there in my quiet time. And there's something about totally focusing on him. You know, you really do come into his presence. And I just want to thank him for that, for being faithful no matter how I feel or what I've done or not done. And I just want to thank him for hot water, for food that we have that 90% of the world doesn't have. I just want to thank him, Father, for families and for get-togethers and for this church and for watching over us, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for our salvation and your multiple gifts to us. We thank you that we sit at the right hand of the Father along with Jesus in the heavenlies. We just thank you, Father, that we can call you Abba, that you truly have become our Father. You have adopted us into your family. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I didn't think I was supposed to do this, but God said do it anyway. So here we go. About 21 years ago, my husband came home from work, and he had been let go from his job. He's an alcoholic recovering for 19 years, but at that point, he wasn't recovering yet. And we went from a very well-paying job, providing for everything, to the very next day, no income. And God stepped in. He knew. God knew that was going to happen. He stepped in. Today, we're living in our home paid off. We have money to supply everything we need. We have never been without anything. God has moved in all of that. He brought Bob to a place where he said, I don't want to do this anymore. And he went, he signed himself in to rehab. And he gives God the glory for delivering him from alcohol. He doesn't take any of the glory himself. I don't care what it is you're going through. I don't care what it is. God is already there working it out. He already knows what it is. And he's got a way out of it for you, even though you can't see it. It's going to be okay. It may be hard. It was not an easy journey, and it still isn't easy. But he's there every minute of every day, walking through it with us.
I'm thankful for the Lord's forgiveness and mercy and grace, because he saw fit to keep me alive for whatever reason. And I saw that he had a purpose for me. And he gives me things every day to be grateful for, even when I'm acting ungrateful. So I just want to lift him up the way he lifts me up every day. And I don't know, I praise him every day. I'm glad to be here.
You know, this psalm kind of bridges the gap between praise and thanksgiving and the depths of our hearts. So we have to get to a point where our praise and our thanksgiving can become authentic. So this psalm, I want us to walk through it step by step, just to be able to maybe recount how we need to be thankful, okay? Consider these things. First, the extent of the practice of those who are to be praised. Number one, all ye servants, okay? The servants of the Lord, all of them are to praise God. Now, my simple question to you are you one of his servants? Then what are you supposed to be doing? Praising the Lord. All servants of the Lord are to praise him. That's a key right there. That if we're going to be one of his servants, we have to fall in line with what his objectives are for what the kingdom's all about. And one of his objectives is for his servants to praise him. Wow. We have an egotistical God who wants everybody to praise him. Who does he think he is anyway? Well, he's God. He's the king of the universe. He's the overseer of all things and the maker of all things. Yeah, if anybody has a right to have an ego that big, it's God. And he's the only one who has that right. The only one. He deserves to be praised. And who does he need to be praised by? We, his servants. So number one, we need to be all, as servants, praising the Lord. This praise is from this time forth and forevermore, verse 2. From now and forevermore. So you're not, this isn't something we do just at Thanksgiving. This is from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. He is worthy to be praised. We need to come before him morning, noon, and night. Wake up and praise the Lord. Before you get out of the bed, whisper, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Father. When you go to bed at night, thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting me through this day. Thank you for an opportunity and this bed and this pillow I have to lay my head on. Praise God now and forevermore. Those who praise God are to be all of his servants. We're to pray every single day for the rest of our existence. That's your job. That's job number one. In everything that you do and everything that you say, bring praise and honor and glory to God. And if you do that, then you will live in an attitude of happiness, an attitude of gratitude. If you start looking at the things of this world, you'll start grumbling and complaining. If you start looking at your heartaches, you're going to start grumbling and complaining. If you start looking at your pocketbook that gets thinner and thinner, you're going to start grumbling and complaining. Stop looking at that stuff. Just look to Jesus. And second, the worthiness of the character of the one who is being praised. It says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. His height is above all the nations. Glory is above all the heavens. God's glory is greater than everything. How powerful, how majestic than the universe. The Lord is the only is seated on high. He looks far down on the heavens and the earth, it says in verse 6. The extent of his massive power is indicated by the picture of God not only looking down on the earth, but also looking down from the heavens. So, just like that one picture I used to have of the picture of God looking down on the earth and all the stars and expanse, and there's the ball of the earth. He's looking down on the heavens, past all of those stars, all those clusters of stars, all those universes, right down into our little solar system, past all those other planets, right down to where? Planet Earth. And what's he looking down to? He's looking down at you. He's watching you. He's seeing a few as one of his servants is going to take the time to praise him. That's a simple thing, okay? He's watching to see if we're going to praise him. If we're going to take time out of our day to acknowledge that he exists. Okay, so this is a God who has to stop and look down at the universe. But such is our God. He accommodates himself to our understanding and he rescues us. Because he's always looking out for us. And he rescues. Sometimes even long before we realize it, he is rescuing us. So the psalmist asks a rhetorical question, who is like the Lord our God? The answer is a resounding no one. He stands alone in his awesome greatness. He's the only one. There's no other God. You can try to look at the God of the Arabs. You can look at the God of the Hebrews, which is God of the Old Testament. Or you can look at the God of the Hebrews who found Jesus, who became completely Jews, and passed that message on to us. And we find that Yahweh is alive and well. He reigns supreme. He's ever loving. He's ever caring for the people of low estate. He always brings up the poor first, the needy. Sometimes I think he looks right past the ones who aren't needy because they don't need him. They have their wealth. They have their family. They have all that they need, so they don't need God. So he looks for the lonely widow. He looks for the orphan. He looks for the poor people. He looks for the people who would be willing to show him some gratitude because they're grateful for what they have. And sometimes we, because we're rich, we sometimes leave that God out of the equation. I stand amazed at the glory of God. I stand amazed at what he's done in my life and what he's going to do in our lives together. I believe that God has still a lot of something special for us right now, a whole lot. I think he's going to bring together more people to help us accomplish the king's desire to reach the King County for him. Psalm is covering the offering up. So let's go deeper into that psalm. Verse 7. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap to sit them with noblemen, with the noblemen of his people. He has the infertile woman live in the house with the joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Now, imagination to conceive of a God as much present and active in the myriad of the galaxies of space, outer space, who can care about a barren woman here on earth who longs to be a mom and never got the chance. And to put her among in a house of mothers with many children. I think about that with churches all across our nation. And I think about that with churches here, with a barren mom who can come here, and they have the wealth of the children of this congregation under their apron as well. And those of you who have children to share that, and those of you who have wives, who are wives whose husbands have departed them, and they're raising those kids by yourself, and you bring those kids here, to allow the other men of the church to be men, to be examples before those kids. See, the house of the Lord is the family of God. And we begin to love each other and care for each other and look after each other and take each other into our homes. And I think that's the exciting thing about what's going on in this psalm. This psalm then zooms in from that great expanse down to a smaller scale, and it's kind of like a watchmaker. You go from looking out into the heavens with a telescope into the tiny intricacies of a watch and putting all the details of it together. God knows everything that's going on in your life, and he's going to be there for you. He is worthy to be praised. It's that simple. God is God. And he is worthy to be praised. By whom? His servants. When? Every day of your life. Every moment of your existence, there is hope. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap. To seat us up front with the noble people. Something we don't deserve. Jesus descended down to lift us up, to seat us with him and heavenly places. I think that's where you begin to get to understanding that there's a banner over him is love, and he is worthy to be praised for all time and eternity. But that's not just the only hope that we have. Our hope is in the fact that we can come here this morning and take just a moment, like we heard. I was homeless for a day, and then I had a house. And not only did I have a house, I had a house right next to some good neighbors to be able to share and to worship the Lord with. God does that for us. He will be there to strengthen us and to put pieces of the puzzle back together. And I pray that we stay in his will and do what he wants every days of our life. And that this church will be his church, governed and led by him, in such a way that he is known throughout this whole county. Why? Because you live, he will be known in this county. And that's why I wanted to take a day just to be thankful. So does anybody else have anything else they want to praise the Lord for?
So near the end of October, I was in a car accident, and I was sitting at a four-way stop, and a car came flying over, and it estimated it was 45 miles per hour, and he flew through the stop sign at the four-way stop, and he could have just maintained his lane, but there was also a car in his lane, so he hit his car three cars wide on the road. He sideswiped my van, and he sideswiped the other guy. And my logical mind tells me it came down to inches and angles to avoid either a head-on collision with me or a rear-ending with the other car that had kids in the back. But everybody walked away from it. And I just thought about it for some days and tried to be logical, thinking it came down to inches and angles. But sitting in here today, it reminded me that my daughter that was in the car with me, actually, she had recently asked me when something goes well, she said, "Mom, I have a hard time deciding if it was good luck or if it was God." And then I realized I was in the same dilemma after that car accident. And then I had to think, what do I do with this? Because it could have really turned out different. And then God spoke to me when I said, "What do I do with this?" And God said, "Go where I sent you." And so I said, "I'll go." But my sister-in-law has also shared with me that she prays daily a hedge of protection for her family. So I agree, it's a miracle.
Amen.
I'm just really grateful that this is still a country where I can be, you know, open with my faith and praise God and talk about God without fear of anything worse than somebody scoffing or, you know, putting it down. But I don't have to worry about being harmed. I mean, for the most part, I know there are things that happen, but that I can still be open with my faith. And I'm really grateful that I can send my kids to schools where God is talked about openly, not just talked about, he's taught, and that they can be in an environment where that's important and that's shared. And I wish that everybody had that opportunity. I'm grateful that we're blessed that we can make that choice. I think everybody should be able to make that choice, but I'm really grateful that we can, and I'm grateful that there are schools that exist that we're able to send our kids to that do that, because I think it's really important, in this day and age, that's something that's offered in schools instead of all the other things that we know they're starting to integrate, that these schools are integrating God, and I'm really appreciative of that.
I was looking at our live nativity, and it seemed like it was a more authentic live nativity this year with people from the East, and I thought that was kind of special. I'm thankful for our school because that's how we got to know the people from Papua New Guinea, and I thought it was such a beautiful, beautiful nativity this year, and it's beautiful to have Papua New Guinea a part of our church. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I pray that you have a happy Thanksgiving with your family, your friends, or whoever you could be with. I pray that everybody had a place to be. Excited to hear some of your stories about that. I know that the more we grow together, the stronger we'll be in the Lord. And this is one of the ways that we grow together, just to get to know each other and who we are.